Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. I'm here with Zach Heron, LPC, at Solace Counseling and Anxiety Center, and I'm Millie Tanner, and we are happy to be here with you today. Thanks, Zach, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Millie. I'm looking forward to the conversation we're going to have today.
So we're going to do part two of our series on pornography. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to talk about how it affects our marriages. I think it's going to be a good conversation. I do want to say this is probably not an episode that you want your young children to listen to. And I would encourage you today to listen to it first and then decide if it's something you want to share with your older children.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely something to consider.
So let's just jump right in. Zach, how have you seen pornography affect marriages? We have a lot of people that come in mm-hmm. and they want to do marriage counseling, and they come to marriage counseling because they are in a moment of crisis.
Yep, absolutely.
And so a lot of times the crisis is that one spouse has found out about another spouse's pornography. Mm-hmm. That can be because perhaps the husband has been able to confide in the wife that he's been struggling with this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's that the wife just stumbles onto something yep. on the family computer or something.
Or catches him or walks in on it. Yeah, and that's, yep.
Yes. Definitely. So either way, it can be really a hard time in a marriage. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what happens when, you know, that kind of bomb is dropped in a marriage.
I think the biggest thing, I think the shock of it, I think a lot of times is just understand that there is a grief process. Like most of the time it's, you know, wives, especially if they find their husband, that, you know, finding is like, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't the guy, this who I thought he was. Vice versa, the same thing. If the husband, like we talked about last time, it is pretty common now for, you know, women to have that same struggle. And so him to have that same kind of, I didn't know this is what my wife was dealing with. I think it's kind of that initial shock is huge. And kind of like you said, when people come in that moment in crisis, it's really hard to think clearly. It's really hard to help, you know, understand where it's coming from. Kind of like we talked about last time, you know, understanding it as an addiction, understanding it as a struggle with sin. It's really hard in those initial phases. So I think that it's not an excuse for my behavior like we talked about last time, but it's just how do we extend grace in those moments when it does come out? And it's true of anything that we find, you know, this disturbing by our spouse, or, you know, maybe there's something that we didn't really think this is the person I married. So I think that's definitely something just to consider. Like it's okay to be grieving. It's okay for me to be shocked. It's okay for me to be, you know, disappointed. Those are all normal feelings in this situation.
To feel betrayed.
Sure, betrayed's a big word. Yep.
Yeah, so giving yourself permission to grieve, to feel the feelings, I think is probably step one.
Absolutely.
You know, pornography, whether it's used infrequently or, like we talked about last time, mm-hmm. it's an addiction, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons it's a big deal, and we'll talk about several reasons, but one of the reasons is that it's done in secret. Mm-hmm. And so it is something that you are hiding from your spouse.
Yep.
And that impacts the marriage in significant ways.
Yeah, I think a lot of times with couples, when they come in, it's the pornography, but the bigger thing is the lies. And so I think it's like, I feel deceived, I feel lied to, I feel, like I said, this is somebody that's not who I'm married. And anything we do in secret within relationship, you know, it creates a tendency and maybe proneness towards shame. And so that's what we've talked about last time, kind of that shame cycle that perpetuates this thing and perpetuates pornography usage, I think is a big deal. I think the tendency, too, I see as couples coming in is that there is a propensity to want to shame my spouse for it. And so we'll move forward in that. But I think just understanding that's kind of the underlying theme is that there's a shame that's keeping the spouse in it, but there's also the shame of lying and trying to cover it up and that kind of thing. And that's true not only with pornography, but anything that, like you said, we're doing in secret, that's hiding, that's not promoting that vulnerability that it takes to have a really good relationship.
Right. And one of the, you mentioned it a few minutes ago, but one of the things that we hear very often, particularly from women, is I didn't sign up for this.
Right.
This isn't my problem. This is his problem. Yep. And then oftentimes out of anger, it even goes a step further to say, I'm not going to be participating
right.
in the healing portion of this. I'm not going to take this journey.
Right.
He needs to fix what's wrong. He needs to deal with this problem. And when he gets it fixed, then we'll be okay.
Right. And there is some truth to that. Yes, it is his problem. And yes, I don't understand the struggle, that kind of thing. And I think that there's some level of truth to that. But a lot of things in marriage we didn't sign up for, right? Like there's like the history we bring in, the baggage we bring in, those kinds of things. Like there's just parts of our spouse that we didn't know, you know, was that we signed up for, but we didn't. That's part of it. That's part of also having the freedom to love somebody just the way they are. I think that when men come to terms with this, I think the biggest thing for them to understand is that, yes, I have to take ownership of this. And yes, I have betrayed trust in my spouse. And something that's pretty interesting in watching couples work through this is that we have kind of degrees of trust. We have levels of trust. And I think what initially the reaction, like we talked about with the shock, is that he's done this thing, therefore it's like a switch. I can't trust this guy, right? So I turned my trust completely off, and there's no way he's going to be able to turn it back on. One of the things we talk about a lot in counseling is just this concept of trust as being more like kind of this dial, more like this. There's a lot of areas that I can trust my husband in. This one area of sexual sin, of addiction, like I can't trust him in. And for me to give him that trust would be pretty foolish. So I tell men all the time is that it's really important for me to own that and for me to not trust myself there. I tell guys if they come in and say, I'll never do this again, that's just like any addict, you know, if it's an alcoholic saying, hey, I'll never drink again. But if I keep putting myself in that position to find out, meaning, hey, I'm going to drink one beer and, you know, I'm okay, right, but I'm an alcoholic, well, that's insane because I'm just setting myself up for failure. The same thing is true with a sexual addict. It's like, oh, I can trust myself here. I'll have access to the internet. I'll do whatever. You know, I'll never do it again. I think what I'm doing is I'm extending trust to myself where I shouldn't be trusting myself, and therefore my spouse shouldn't trust me there either because I'm untrustworthy there. But I'm telling men and working through this, and women say the same thing, is that when my husband takes ownership of it, when he says, hey, I don't trust myself here, and so I'm getting accountability and I'm putting no access, when I'm taking care of the root, when I'm going to counseling, when I'm all that, what happens is that my wife and my spouse can then start to extend trust in that area because I'm taking care of it. I don't trust myself there. That's so important in moving through this. And for guys to understand, like, yeah, she has every reason not to trust me there. And I have every reason not to trust myself there either.
That's good. One of the concepts in marriage counseling, and this works for a lot of different situations, is this idea of ownership.
Absolutely.
That you were talking about.
Yep.
And so a lot of times I will, sitting in the counseling office, almost put it out like it's on the floor between the couple and myself. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the issue. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to own it. And a lot of times in marriage counseling, what we're fighting over is that nobody really wants to take mm-hmm. healthy, complete ownership mm-hmm. of the issue. Mm-hmm. And so let's say it's a pornography problem that the husband has revealed. If he doesn't say, that's my problem and I am going to own it, then it's always going to stir up insecurity
yes.
in the woman that she needs to keep checking and she needs
yes.
to keep controlling and she needs to keep making sure mm-hmm. that somebody is looking at this problem and owning it. And so the healthy version of that is if it's the man that's struggling with pornography, mm-hmm. for him to completely own this problem, and that allows her to rest and say, okay, like, I can trust you that you are working on owning this problem mm-hmm. of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of marriage is about ownership.
Yes, I think, yeah, the majority of marriage counseling is about that. So whatever the issue is.
Yeah, that's a big concept.
Yeah, that's a really big concept.
So I think one of the reasons pornography is a big deal in marriage is because it's something that's kept secret.
Mm-hmm.
It disconnects couples because there's this secret.
Yeah.
Another reason it's a big deal is because it really sucks the intimacy out of
yes.
a relationship.
Yeah. This hits at the core of, you know, the thing that's supposed to be shared between a husband and wife, you know, the sexual intimacy. That's what's being attacked. And like you said, it's this area that, you know, we're only known by our spouse, you know, and that, and it's a place for growth. It's a place of discovery. It's a place that God gave us, like, to really experience, you know, his grace and his love and all that through the beauty of the intimacy of sex. And that's why I think, especially when this comes out, it's such a huge betrayal, because yeah, it feels like this is a part that yeah, it's reserved for us. And I think that's huge, especially as women are coming into it and understanding, you know, that. I think kind of like we talked about last time is that it's not an excuse for my behavior, but coming into that is it's not a isolated event most of the time. I think that as hard as that is, and this might be weeks or months or whatever into the process, I think there is an opportunity in developing intimacy, and that's being known and knowing my spouse, is having compassion on that, that it's probably not an isolated event, it's not this one time, but seeing my husband as being kind of like, he's this 8-year-old or 12-year-old who the pornography industry basically targeted and, you know, now has, you know, stolen that potential for that intimacy within my marriage. But I said, it's not an excuse for my behavior, but there's so many ways that this could go. And I think compassion is a huge deal. Grace is a huge deal. Forgiveness is a huge deal. There's, like I said, there's a lot of potential for growth, and there's also a lot of potential for harm if we hold on to that bitterness and resentment and that kind of thing. But
that's a great point. You know, pornography in and of itself is self-centered and self-serving.
Yep.
And marriage is about sacrifice.
Yep.
And it's about giving.
It's about the others, yeah.
And so that it's pornography is a counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
It is something it's an imitation of the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the real thing, like what you're talking about, is knowing someone and allowing someone to truly know you,
yeah.
which is what God designed marriage mm-hmm. to be. And so pornography sneaks in the back door, and it is this self-serving, self-centered way of meeting those sexual
mm-hmm.
needs.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an imitation, and mm-hmm. it's never going to satisfy like the God-given relationship
Absolutely.
Of marriage.
Yep.
And I think that's something that in counseling we talk a lot about, is mm-hmm. just seeing pornography as this fake imitation, mm-hmm. this counterfeit to what the real gift is that God wants to give us.
Absolutely. And that's where you're kind of diving into the idea of fantasy, like the fantasy of, you know, I can escape, you know, my problems, versus the reality is, hey, if I work through this problem, like you said, that it creates more intimacy. Rather than avoiding the issue, I'm confronting the issue. I'm leaning into it, you know, and that's true of anything that we talk about in counseling, whether it's anxiety or depression. It's not the avoidance of it, it's the leaning into it. And I think that's, again, like you said, that counterfeit, recognizing is that that definitely helps us like the reality of what marriage can be and sex within marriage can be, like, absolutely. And statistics and studies show that every guy that's caught up in that cycle, every woman that's caught up in that cycle, say a fulfilling relationship, sexual relationship, fulfilling intimacy, like I said, not a euphemism for sex, but being known by their spouse, is more fulfilling than the fantasy and counterfeit of pornography.
Yeah. And when this anvil is dropped on our heads,
mm-hmm.
so to speak,
mm-hmm.
When it comes out that one spouse is really struggling with pornography, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it really matters, particularly in those first few I would say days,
yes,
weeks, how you handle that for situation.
Sure. For sure.
And so a lot of times, you know, whatever your normal coping skill is, it doesn't mean that that's healthy, but we all have coping skills that we turn to when something happens in our life, mm-hmm, that's overwhelming. And oftentimes those are not healthy coping skills. So we may withdraw. That's a very common, like, I'm just going to stick my head in the sand and I'm going to pretend like this is not happening. Yep. Sometimes we are angry, yep, and we come after the other person and we yell and we scream and we belittle and we shame.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different ways of coping. Maybe we have some vices that we use. So maybe we drink too much, or mm-hmm, we just go into this avoid mode. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just get really busy. Sometimes we want to get our spouse back. I've seen this often, mm-hmm, in counseling, that, you know, maybe I'm going to go spend a lot of money that I really, yep, shouldn't, just to get,
yeah,
my
payback,
husband,
yeah,
mm-hmm, payback. If you're going to do that, then I'm going to do this, yep, kind of punishing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage you to really take a deep breath and step back, get some help from someone.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your pastor, go to a therapist, lay it out and say, we need help walking through this. We don't, mm-hmm, know how to do it, and both of us are so hurt and so angry that we can't really have a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some things that I have seen.
Yep.
It's very common to go back to those old, usually unhealthy ways of coping, at times when something really big happens in our life.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I see that all the time. And then in those unhealthy coping, right, that's where we end up causing more harm and more hurt. But I think too, and going back to what we talked about at the beginning, is we are kind of grieving, you know, and not kind of, we are grieving. And so we do, in grief and in hurt, we do go back to those old things. And again, it's not an excuse for my behavior, but it's coming to someone who can point that out and say, like, why are you so angry? Oh, well, this is a way I used to cope with her. This is a way, you know, drinking too much, I'm trying to avoid it. Like, be able to point that out, so that we can get to that point where we're really addressing the division that it's causing the marriage, the division that's causing our intimacy. And I think that's huge in moving forward and really healing in that process.
And to do some personal work.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes something comes out in a marriage and we do work on that issue, but there are things that are under that issue. And
sure.
So, like we talked about last time on part one, that there's just some things that need to be healed,
mm-hmm,
within us. And that may be family of origin issues. That may be that you were exposed to pornography very young.
Sure.
That may be sexual abuse in your past that you've never told anyone about, mm-hmm, that you've just carried mm-hmm, for a long time. And so if you really want to outgrow your so-called need for pornography, you really have to gain a sense of why.
Mm-hmm.
That you got to be curious as to, why do I continue to go back to this?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a big deal. It's a secret. It's something that, you know, I feel shame over,
mm-hmm,
and it is hurting my sexual relationship with my wife. I'm disconnected from her. I'm not allowing her to see me, or I'm not allowing him to see me in a, you know, intimate kind of emotionally attached way. Where's the root of that? And that's a really important part of any counseling that you're going to do.
Sure.
When something big happens in your marriage like,
sure,
this.
Yeah, a lot of times I see a common root that happens, especially in pornography and addiction, is just this resentment. There's a really interesting verse in Colossians, I think it's 3, where he's talking about the idea of the marriage. And again, he talks about, it's not the Ephesians 5 where, you know, wives submit and husbands love. It kind of has a similar thing to that, but there's a very interesting version of that that says, husbands, love your wives, but guard yourself against resentment. And I see a lot of times within couples, and especially, you know, you get to that 7-year mark and there's been a lot of hurt that's been done, that 14-year mark, that 20-year mark, there's just this anger and resentment that's kind of this undercurrent of, you know, the relationship. And a lot of it, I just, like you said, Millie, just rooting that stuff out. And not only is it toward my spouse, but where's that current, where's that coming from? A lot of that has a tendency to lead into that addiction, I think. And so why am I so angry? You know, is my spouse not doing the things that I want her to do? Is my spouse not doing the things I want him to do? Have we disconnected? Are we not doing the things that are creating health and vitality in a relationship? Are we not communicating? Are we having issues? Like you said, there's a whole lot there. So I think just like anything, it's not an isolated event, but it's a symptom of the root issue, kind of like what you were saying. But I think a lot of times really looking at that anger, I tell clients a lot of times, just if I can confess it, that kills it, which means if I can get it out there and kind of what we talked about before, that ownership, even maybe it's owning like, hey, I'm so resentful at my spouse for X, Y, and Z. That really helps like kill it and help us move forward. I'm owning that, you know, to help us get to that point where we have a healthy relationship.
Yeah. I think one of the issues also is that oftentimes it's hard for one spouse to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a lot of work with this in the counseling office, is educating. Most of the time it's educating the woman about the man's pornography issue, mm-hmm. but it also can switch.
Absolutely, sure.
But having just some general knowledge and reading some books on, okay, this is what's happening brain-wise.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening, you know, as far as the emotions, maybe some root issues like we just mm-hmm. mentioned. That helps, particularly women, that helps them understand mm-hmm. and have that compassion. Sometimes we have to understand what is happening and why is it happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can really begin to see our husbands as people who are struggling and have that compassion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Romans 2:4 says the kindness of God is what leads us to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is kind to us. And if we as spouses can be kind to our spouse, that's going to lead to change.
Mm-hmm.
That grace is transformational.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment when you find out that there's a secret of pornography in your marriage, you're not going to feel kind.
No,
you're
not
going to. You're not going to feel
and
loving.
That's okay. Yeah,
that's okay. But to remember that you can give that gift of grace, and still there are, you know, lots of things that you work through. There's accountability issues. There's ownership issues. But if you can have a spirit of how can I give to my spouse during this time, even though they don't deserve it,
mm-hmm.
that's grace.
Absolutely.
And that's what God gives to us each and every day.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, this is the kindness that leads to repentance, and it's our relationship and God giving us that grace and that mercy, the things we don't deserve, leads to the repentance, leads to the confession, leads to the idea of turning away from something. So I've seen that too, where spouses, rather than seeing each other as enemies, they start to become allies. It has a huge impact, not only just on the way they heal through something like this, but then over the longevity of the relationship as well, and creating a culture within that marriage of that honesty and that grace, and that, hey, that we're human, you know, we're not going to, you know, be perfect. I think there's those expectations too, like you said, where some of the other underlying things is that, yes, we need knowledge to know it, but exposing like what are our expectations. Maybe we have unrealistic expectations that we have on our spouse. Like I said, great idea to talk to your counselor about that, talk to your pastor, even within your community groups, like start exposing this stuff, start bringing that out. Just really allowing God to, like we talked about last time, reveal the things that he's wanted to, you know, heal in you, you know. So
secrets lose power when they are brought into the light.
Yep.
And there's a lot of relief in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of healing in that. So sometimes when particularly women are saying things like, I didn't sign up for this, this isn't my issue, I will ask them to picture a situation where their husband is carrying a very heavy backpack.
Yep.
And that's the ownership of his pornography issue. Mm-hmm. He carries that. You don't carry that. Mm-hmm. But you're on this long road, and you are joining him, just walking beside him. Mm-hmm. So he's carrying the heavy backpack, mm-hmm. but you are walking alongside him. Mm-hmm. And that's a good picture just the journey that we can take in marriage. And that can work for a lot of different issues, but particularly this one, mm-hmm. that as a wife, you can walk with him without owning it and without carrying mm-hmm. it for him.
Yeah, I tell wives especially that you can be your husband's greatest ally in this battle against pornography. And it doesn't mean it absolutely, it's not up to the wife. It's absolutely, I love that picture that you said, just like it's his burden to carry. It's his, you know, that he's working through with God. But yeah, I can be the greatest ally. And we talked about extending grace, extending, like I said, it's not an excuse for his behavior, and I'm not giving him, you know, that lean, like, you know, permission, but it is, hey, I'm walking alongside you just as much as you want him to walk alongside you through those difficult things that you're going through. And maybe it's the backpack you're carrying as well. So
I hope today, by talking about this, we are shining a light on it, that maybe somebody listening realizes that they can bring this into the light. And if you're a person right now that's hearing this and you're married and you know that you have an issue with pornography, I would encourage you today, find someone that you trust and tell them about this issue. Put words to this. Speak it out loud. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I would encourage you to take that immediately to your spouse.
No.
But that's where this will end up. Mm-hmm. But tell somebody. If you're a man out there, find a trusted man and say, hey, I am struggling and I need help. I need some guidance on how to do this. And let's take the shame mm-hmm. out of this. I think that's such a relief for people when they can come in and really speak it out loud in a counseling office. And you always say, Zach, that what the Lord reveals, he heals. Mm-hmm. And that is truth, that once something is revealed, it comes into the light, that there's a lot of room for healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I would echo that too. Just if you're struggling with that, this is, again, nothing that you don't need to be carrying this on your own. And understand that a lot of guys are struggling with that too. There's something about that camaraderie of, hey, we're fighting this thing together. And I heard it said, you're either giving into it or you're fighting it. And I think that that's something that is very important, that just by exposing it, we're fighting it by, you know, exposing the dark with the light. You know, that is the first step, absolutely, of not only toward a healthier version of yourself, but a healthier relationship with your spouse.
Yeah, absolutely. And the kindness goes both ways mm-hmm. with the spouses. So the spouse with the pornography issue has to be kind and give their spouse mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. They may need to be very angry for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to let people feel what they feel mm-hmm. and be angry. I would encourage you to get some help during that time. Yeah. Because you don't want to hurt each other more
right.
and then have to heal that. So if you can get help right away and have somebody really guiding you and helping you have good conversations from the beginning, mm-hmm. that's gonna make this process move faster. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're not trying to move it along at too fast of a pace, but we also don't want to get stuck. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the place that people get stuck is just in the anger.
Yeah.
And they let that anger blind them, and they let that anger divide them, and then they just stop talking. Mm-hmm. Because it takes a lot of emotional energy to keep being angry, mm-hmm. and so we don't have that much. So at some point, we just stop being angry, and we just become indifferent.
Yeah.
And that's what I would encourage you to, if you can get to some help, that would guide you so that you don't get to that place where you're just indifferent to each other and completely disconnected.
Right. And a lot of times that indifference is a catalyst too to what we're talking about as well. I think just, I love your point, Millie, as far as like the kindness towards our spouse. A lot of times guys who get caught or it comes out, it's something they've been carrying for years, and now all of a sudden it feels like this huge burden's, you know, been lifted. But you have to understand is that that burden's now been transferred to my spouse. They're just now hearing it, and you've been wrestling for it with years, and the expectation that they're going to be over it in days or weeks is completely unrealistic. And giving them permission to grieve, giving them permission to be angry, like allowing them that space and that grace just to process that is going to be huge and healing. Like you said, it's Millie, it's having somebody help you navigate through that is crucial. So
that's great. Well, thanks, Zach, for being here today. I hope this conversation will help a lot of people who are struggling with this issue. We know that it's widespread. We know mm-hmm. that it affects all of us in mm-hmm. different ways. And next time we're going to talk about just walking this road with our kids,
yeah.
how to talk to our children about pornography and how to help them when they struggle, if they struggle with these things.
Yep.
So I think that's going to be a good conversation as well.
Yeah.
So if we can help you, we are at Solace Counseling and Anxiety Center. Please let us know. And as always, we are thankful to Grace Community Church for making this podcast a possibility. Thanks yep. so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Millie.